Brightness Falls by Mary Butts. Brightness falls from the air. Queens have died, young and fair. Dust has filled Helen's eyes. There is no head or tail to this story, except that it happened. On the other hand, how does one know that anything happened? How does one know? How do I know that Max did not invent it? Only, if I invented it, that he invented it, it doesn't mean that what he thought he saw happened as he thought he saw it. And I am profoundly suspicious of those two women. They are after something they want, and won't be happy till they get it, too careless to reason or even condescend to describe. Light-hearted minxes, or spaywives, or immortals. And on top of that, Parmis, I suspect, is a little sorry for herself. What has she got to be sorry about, if the story Max told me is true? And I could not sincerely be sorry for him either, though there I can't precisely say why. Except that we all have to take our chance, and to be married to Parmis must be an adventure. He came into my rooms, hot and bothered, as our nurses said. Obviously with something on his mind he was determined to be truthful about, and indignant that he should have such a truth to tell. I saw at once that it was the kind of truth that slips through the fingers, that is to say, a fishy truth, and that I should have to exercise the virtues of friendship without their reward. Max is not a stupid man, but I knew that night he was going to be stupid, and from the highest motives. And he was in trouble, and alone. It was about Parmis, of course. When all's said and done, we do hang together against our women, and not wholly from rational reasons. All one finally discovers is that, when they urge us, the loveliest and wisest become all one with the slut. He was saying, "I feel I've got to tell someone, and it might as well be you. I won't ask you not to repeat it, because you won't be able to, and no one could injure her reputation over it, only mine, either for sanity or for not being God." It was plain that he was annoyed and surprised that he had not been God. "I don't believe a word of it," he said. "The explanation lies in some kind of hypnosis, and it is going rather far if she has come to trying that on me. You see, if I allowed myself to believe what she wanted me to believe, I might credit the whole caboodle." He threw out the rather naive argot at me. Slang makes us feel safe. Yes, and by a contact with some sort of reality. "What sort of caboodle?" said I. "Witchcraft," he said. "Spells, magic. All women's occupations, by the way. Or the whole slush of theosophy, auras and reincarnations. You know I am not the man to stand for that sort of thing. Candidly, my mind is not sufficiently trained to examine and explain." I told him, with perfect truth, that I could think of no woman than Parmis less likely to practice witchcraft or theosophy. He said, "I agree. It's one of the things that makes it so impossible." I reflected on the number of times the impossible turns up in a man's life. He went on. "I told Parmis to keep out of it, like I do myself. Whenever the infernal things crop up, I irritate as much as I can, talk rationalist press stuff, and when that won't do, I try Freud. That's good enough at the moment with the kind of woman you meet out. The truth is, I'm as sensitive as a cat, and as ignorant as we all are. While Parmis, you may know that over our marriage there was some occult link." Knowing him, I had supposed that he would think so. "I mean, I minded nothing then, but there was some blend of passion, friendship, and wonder which was different from all these, like a separate quality, detached. It gave us some strange moments, which were perhaps our best. It was like a place, slightly to the right or left of where you were going,